It is wonderful to be here with you this morning, and wonderful that we are sharing our clergy across the Team Parish. So I look forward to seeing some more of you in the future, and even more of what I can see when we're allowed to see each other without our face masks on. Would be nice. Last week, in our Gospel readings, we heard the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And in my sermon at Holy Trinity, I said that that story fits between two other stories, which add to its context. And today, we carry on reading chapter 14 of St. Matthew's Gospel. We begin just as Jesus is dismissing the crowds that had eaten their fill, the 5,000 plus. And this morning we hear of Jesus praying on the mountain by himself, and then early in the morning, walking on the water. We read of Peter starting to do the same, but becoming frightened. And then we read of the proclamation of the disciples about Jesus, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And yesterday, as I sat listening to the final few overs of the England-Pakistan test match, I remembered that in this section of Matthew 14, we also hear the first instance of cricket being recorded. Verse 31 reads, "Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught Peter." How's that? And while I say that in jest, of course, I have heard preachers using this section of Matthew's Gospel to say that true Christians, believing Christians, faithful Christians can do anything. I've heard a preacher that said that if you truly believe that you can walk on water, you can jump out of a plane, you can step out in traffic, and God will save you because of your faith. Now, not only does that not make sense to me, but it's also not what I read in this gospel. Sounds to me an awful lot like putting the Lord your God to the test. And Jesus said we're not supposed to do that. Either that, or it sounds like one of those medieval tests for witches. It didn't work for you? Well, that must mean you're not a truly believing Christian then. But that leaves us with a bit of a dilemma. What then are we going to do with this passage? We read it this morning. Why? Is it simply because it was the next thing to read through as we worked through the lectionary and through St. Matthew's Gospel? Is what was set for today as our gospel reading just set? Or can we find any significance in that passage? Well, take for example the first words that we hear Jesus speak to his disciples today as they see him coming across the lake, across the Sea of Galilee. He says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And those final four words, "do not be afraid," appear 78 times throughout the Bible. In Genesis chapter 15, God says to Abram, "Do not be afraid," as he is on his journeys from Ur to the land that God has promised him. And all the way through to the first chapter of Revelation, when the vision of Christ places hand on John's shoulder and says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever." God tells Moses, "Do not be afraid." Moses tells the people of Israel, "Do not be afraid." King David is told, "Do not be afraid." David tells his son Solomon, "Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you." And then through Isaiah, Jeremiah and the other prophets, time and time again, we hear the words of God to his people, "Do not be afraid." In the New Testament, both Joseph and Mary are told by their visitations by angels, "Do not be afraid." Jesus says it to his disciples on a good number of occasions, including that wonderful lesson in St. John, when after the Last Supper, but before they depart to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." in the Acts of the Apostles. God appears to Paul in a dream and tells him, do not be afraid. St. Paul then reminds the early church in more than one of his letters, do not be afraid. As humans, we appear to be fearful creatures. And this year has shown us examples of what fear can drive us to. In the early stages of a global pandemic, people's fear-driven survival instinct told them to hoard toilet paper. When you make decisions driven by fear, it doesn't always lead to overly sensible actions. Fear leads us to close in, to shut down, to exclude more, to become more selfish. Jesus says, do not be afraid. We are called to be people who look into an uncertain future and are not afraid of that future because we know that God is with us. And that doesn't mean that we abandon all sense and jump recklessly into any and all situations. But what it does mean is that when God calls us to step out of our security in our present situation, when God calls us to be faithful and answer him, when God invites us out of the boat, so to speak, to walk on the water, when God calls us, we are not to be afraid. There's a lot of uncertainty at the moment. A lot that can feel like we are being tossed about in a small boat, buffeted by waves, assaulted by the winds in the darkness of the night, not knowing which is the right way to shore, pulling in any direction but not knowing if we're making headway, going away from safety, or going round in circles. With lockdown, easing, local lockdown, plans for schools to open and maybe pubs to close again, working from home, or are we working from the office, wearing masks in shops and churches and having plastic screens between server and customer. In the midst of all and any storms of life, God does not leave us alone and floundering. That's the miracle for me of Jesus walking on the water. Because Jesus does whatever it takes to come to those who are in the midst of the storm and afraid. He calls to each and every one of us, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. With the medication that I take at the moment, quite strong medication, when I started it last year, I went through a period of about 3 months where my dreams at night were vivid, very strange, and very frightening. And each time I would wake Claire, who's my wife, just so that you know, Claire would hold me and simply repeat over and over, I'm here, I've got you, I'm here, I'm not letting you go. I'm here. And that act of love shown to me as I emerged from nightmares is the same act of love that we see in our gospel reading today. Christ comes to his disciples, his physical presence with them, and he calls his peace to be with them. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. And by the power of God's Holy Spirit, he does the same thing today. God has got you. When you follow him, if you step out in faith, if you answer his call, then you are never, ever doing so alone. God is with you. Do you believe in the statement that we read on the lips of the disciples this morning? Do you say of Jesus, truly you are the Son of God? We're not sure. Is that what we believe? Do we truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I do. But sometimes it's difficult to act as though I believe in it, to take that step of faith and to not be afraid. But if we were truly to believe that Jesus is with us, that he has got us, that he calls us out from where we are to where he already is, then what is there that can make us afraid? God is love, is he not? God is with you, is he not? God calls you, does he not? And he says to you, do not be afraid. In the days when we could sing in churches, those long forgotten days of yore, there was a song that we used to sing. We might not be able to sing it together this morning, but we can still listen to it. I must warn you, it does have clapping at the end, but that is still allowed in the Church of England. Can we play the song, please?